from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin podcast.
Chris Long is our guest today, and Chris Long is a very honest, usually outspoken person, former Eagle, Super Bowl champion, former Patriot, former in the brutal years, St. Louis Ram. But Chris Long will talk about the Eagles and the situations they're in and discuss some of the things that really he does not share the same opinions. But before we get into that, I want to touch on, with the draft coming up, and people, football fans, and that means people all over the country, go crazy when they hear NFL draft, and because everybody speculates, there's trade thoughts, there's what quarterbacks are going to be taken. The first two picks are going to be quarterbacks, at least the first two picks. Trevor Lawrence, Kyle Wilson from BYU will be the players that will be taken with the first two picks. Then it gets kind of sketchy, but there'll probably be maybe four quarterbacks taken in the first 10 picks. But let's concentrate on the Eagles pick. Daniel Jeremiah, who I respect very much, works with the NFL Network, but worked in personnel departments around the NFL. And he was with the Eagles. He was with the Ravens. He's been with other personnel people. But I think he puts a lot of work into it. And he loves, I mean loves, the tight end Kyle Pitts out of Florida. Loves him. Now, I'm concentrating on the Eagles being from Philadelphia. And if he's there at six, he thinks he's the best player in the draft. They take quarterbacks not because they're the best player, but because you need a quarterback more than any other player on your football team if you're going to win football games. But he loves Kyle Pitts. And if he's there at six, and it doesn't appear that he'll be there with the sixth pick, he would absolutely positively take Kyle Pitts. Now, the fact is he probably won't be there. So what do the Eagles do? Ja'Marr Chase, he didn't even hesitate. Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU, who opted out of the last year because of COVID, still hasn't played for a year, and he's still that good. He's better than Devontae Smith, who is a really good receiver, However, he's really small, and that concerns some people. But he'll go probably in the top 10 to 12. All right, now let's look at some other issues around the NFL. And it's clear to me, after watching what's going on, that signing a quarterback to the large amount of money that you have to sign a quarterback is not, I repeat, not a good thing. From 2009 to 2016, quarterbacks taken in the first round are not with their original teams. And that's 22 quarterbacks from 2009 to 2016 that were drafted in the first round are not with their original teams. And then when you sign quarterbacks to big money, it doesn't work. The Kansas City Chiefs won with Mahomes. And they won with Mahomes because he wasn't on a big ticket contract. Now, they lost to a team that played better. Tom Brady gets big money. He slides it so far down the road that it's not as big as the other player contracts. It's not $35 to $40 million. When you pay a quarterback that much, it really prohibits you from filling out your team because there's other players and keeping some of your players. It doesn't work. I know the quarterbacks are going to get their money. I don't think the Dallas Cowboys will ever, and I repeat, ever win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott. Makes too much money. There's too much money spent on a small amount of players for them to supplement their team unless they make perfect draft picks all the time. Perfect. That only gives them a chance. And then when they get to their second contract, that's a mistake. It's like taking a running back in the top 10 is a mistake. It's a mistake because running backs, if you get to your second contract with that back, and that may be rare sometimes because they always seem to get hurt. But you can get running backs later in the draft and get running backs that are productive as long as you have a good offensive line. So I started realizing it more and more over the last month or so. When you have a quarterback that makes quarterback-type money, and that's over $30 million a year, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It's really sad to think that if you ever get a quarterback that's that good and you have to sign him to the second contract, it's really hard to win with that second contract. Think about all the teams that have drafted a quarterback in the first round and how many of those players are still with their team. Drafted in the first round. Matt Ryan, they got to a Super Bowl, but they didn't win. I don't know that it's the Falcons' fault. It's the offensive coordinator's fault and Kyle Shanahan. But think about that. Aaron Rodgers won one Super Bowl. And he might be, for one game, I think he might be the best that is in the NFL right now. But they just don't exist. First-round quarterbacks, it's amazing when you think about that. It's just Ben Roethlisberger won some Super Bowls. You're going to get some quarterbacks that do it. But the first and second picks, Peyton Manning, although he's credited with being on two Super Bowl teams, the first one, he didn't have a great game. Even though he was voted the MVP, it was the running back that had a great game. He threw an interception in that game, and they played a really bad team. So, And then the second time with Denver, he didn't have anything to do with that. They even basically told him not to pass the second half of the game. So it's really, really hard to win in the NFL without a good quarterback, but you don't always have to take them in the first round. And then when you pay them big money, it seems like you have problems. All right, let's get to Chris Long. Former defensive end for a few teams, including the Eagles, when they won a Super Bowl, with the Patriots, when they won a Super Bowl, and talking about some of the things that he witnessed. What kind of owner is Jeffrey Lurie? What kind of quarterback is Carson Wentz as far as his personality? How does he think Jalen Hurts will play? And Charles Barkley is even part of our conversation. All right, let's now hear my conversation with Chris Long. And I'm here with a real big time celebrity. All right, he is a former Super Bowl champion, and now, besides being a wise guy, he's the host of this great big, I'm telling you, bigger than life podcast, the Green Light Pod, and that would be former Eagle Chris Long. Chris, how are you today?
Genius. I feel smarter for being in your presence.
Well, I can understand that, actually. I can actually understand that. You know, I know even though you're not in this city, you still keep tabs by listening to your podcast all the time on what's going on with the Eagles. Can you believe all the drama that's taking place since, actually, before the season ended, but certainly since the season has ended for the Eagles?
I do believe it. I mean, you know, it's a big city, man. There's a lot of expectations, and I love that when me and some older guys had never played someplace like that. When we got into town, it was just electrifying. But, you know, also the downside of that is, you know, emotional people that care about football are going to care when things aren't going well too. And, you know, the heat lamp is it's hot and it's bright right now on the Eagles and on Howie and the new coach and that sort of thing. And I think Howie and those guys would tell you, like, listen, we put ourselves in this position and now we got to dig our way out of it. And I think they can do it. But, you know, what they do at six is going to be a decision that's going to loom large for years to come.
You know, I'm sure you heard the latest with Jeffrey Lurie likes to be involved. How involved? I don't think any of us really know unless you're in the draft room. And then if you talk to people in the draft room or otherwise, did you Jeffrey Lurie as an owner? What did you think of him? And did you ever feel like he was overly involved in what was going on?
I never felt like he was overly involved necessarily. I always thought of him as a really good owner and somebody who cared. He showed up. He walked around. He was at practice. But without knowing like how involved he is behind the scenes, you know, I hear things, you hear things. I hear, you know, he's going to be the final say in certain decisions. And, you know, when you got 32 owners, they're all involved on different levels. And I would say probably if Jeffrey's in a half of the league, he's probably in the more involved half. But I don't think he abuses his power in being involved. You know, I know Howie's very involved in everything. So, you know, that's one guy for sure. And I thought in the past, like sometimes maybe there, you know, the chain of communication was all over the place. You know, there's a lot of voices. But I don't think that Jeffrey's a bad owner at all. In fact, I think he's a very good owner, and he supported us in everything we did on and off the field. So, you know, everybody shares in the mess that they're in right now. And, I got in trouble, or I guess in trouble, because some people didn't understand that I wasn't taking gratuitous pot shots at Philly. You know, it came up in a conversation about J.J. Watt because a lot of people were asking me, what do you think about Philly? I tweeted something to the effect of J.J. Watt doesn't want to go play for your team. And that was an open-ended tweet and had nothing to do with Philly because, as I pointed out, Philly's an afterthought in landing big free agents right now, you know, unless they can pay him, which they can't. And people freaked out about it. Everybody shares, you know, some culpability in getting this organization to where it is right now, but they can get out of it. It's not like they've been mired in crap for years. We just won a Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Which is amazing. 3 years ago, and it's just like people go crazy over this team. They don't. You don't get a pass for very long because football is like it in Philadelphia.
Well, there's certain things you shouldn't get. There's certain things you shouldn't get a pass for, and like, you know, that's not to say it's a death sentence to make mistakes, but you know, like, people are passionate about football, and I get it. Like, I played on a bad team, like. You think this team is dysfunctional right now? Like, I played on a team for 8 years that I talked about a lot in St. Louis where, you know, 1-15 and 2-14 was kind of the norm for a while. And then Jeff Fisher got there and 7-9 was kind of like, hey, we're doing something here. So, I also have a perspective of I've seen much worse. So I'm also, while I'm very matter of fact about it, I also don't think that, that it's the worst thing that I've ever seen. And I think they can claw their way out of it pretty quick if they make the right moves, but they got to hit on all their moves here. over the next year or two.
All right. What happens with the quarterback is fascinating. But I know we have talked about it before. All this stuff that Carson Wentz was a bad guy. Carson Wentz doesn't get along with. Carson Wentz doesn't do this. And now I'm not in the locker room as much as you were in the locker room. But I was around. You saw me. I was around the team all the time. And yeah. I just didn't notice a whole lot of that. I mean, is that overstated, overblown? And what is it that you noticed with Carson Wentz?
Man, listen, hey, I've diced this up a million different ways. And when I've been asked, on my podcast, because the bottom line is I don't like character assassinations, especially when they just seem to be malicious and inaccurate. And the thing about people online and people that are consuming sports media is they're information receivers a lot of times. They don't take into account, like, all right, why is this source saying this? You know, like, there's always most sources, like an unnamed source, are going to, they're not just doing it because they feel like it. They're doing it because they want to gain something. So I always look at unnamed sources in a couple of articles that have really negative things to say about Carson. And some of them, quite frankly, it was more the sum of a bunch of little complaints. So people took, like, four or five little complaints that we don't even know if all of them were players and some of them were staff. And then they made them into one big complaint, or there was one outlying, like, really asinine thing that somebody said about Carson. When you have 5, 7, 10 guys who all talk highly of Carson on the record. And, you know, like, I would just say this, you worry if there's a bunch of unnamed source, like, guys dumping on the teammate, if nobody has anything nice to say about Carson publicly on the record. That's kind of the code in the NFL. We're not going to tear each other down on the record. But if a guy just is hung out there to dry and nobody says anything, then that's usually a bad sign. You know, you've heard guys like Brandon Graham, myself, Fletcher Cox, Zach Ertz, a couple different receivers, O-linemen, you know, all wishing Carson the best and also saying that this stuff was way blown out of proportion. Here's what I think about Carson. He needs to do a better job of reaching out to every corner of the locker room. Me and Malcolm Jenkins had a conversation on on my podcast on Greenlight. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the consensus we came to. You know, losing creates this big arena where everybody has to throw their 2 cents in, you know, in on why the team is so bad or why Carson's so bad. Carson was the same guy in 2017 and nobody really complained. You know, I didn't notice anything negative about Carson. You know, me and Mount kind of came to the conclusion of when we were in Philly in 2017, nobody was thinking about, like, Carson's leadership. We had veteran leaders. So, you know, by the time this stuff has been like, there's this leadership void or he needs to be better, the team's also struggling. And so everything gets magnified. And my point is Carson could use a fresh start. He has things he could improve. The football stuff, you'll never hear me complain about him getting benched last year because he did that to himself. But the Eagles share some culpability, too, in not setting him up for success.
Well, you know, this goes back to, and it's amazing how people formulate their own opinions. You had a shrine for Nick Foles, and people took that as, or some people took it as, well, maybe he doesn't really like Carson Wentz.
people that never played organized sports. I mean, it's so funny. Like, I built that shrine about Nick, or for Nick, because we were bad and we needed a, you know, like a little pick me up on a bad day. It was like Carson had just gotten hurt. Like, the very reason for the shrine is because people were down in the dumps because the franchise quarterback's hurt. I mean, like, the very reason for a shrine, which is humor, is to, like, kind of lift the mood of the locker room. And guys came in the locker room and were laughing and we had fun with it. And it was like one of those things, like, honestly, it came from the movie Major League with Joe Boo.
Right.
And that whole shrine Pedro Serrano had in his locker. So, you know, I got an autobiography from Nick Foles in my locker. You think I've read that book? Like, you know, like, I've got this thing propped up with prayer candles from the gas station. And this is how I know most of these idiots with a capital I are not even aware of what the shrine looked like, because I posted 6 socials from my pod this last week. We built the same shrine for Carson and nobody said a word. Nobody noticed.
No,
they read was shrine, and they don't know what it looks like. It looks stupid as hell. It's got Carson's books and 12 gas station prayer candles and some incense.
You have more candles for Carson, though, too, didn't you?
I did, which you know, these same type of people might be doing an about face. Actually, I like Carson better than Nick now because I have more candles for him.
It's unbelievable. Now, you touched on leadership, and that's really kind of interesting because I've talked to some people there about the leadership in every room of every the wide receivers, Torrey Smith, the tight ends, Brent Celek, the defensive line. I mean, between you, Fletcher, Brandon, you go the offensive line. You had Kelsey, you had Peters, you had Lane Johnson. Every part in the defensive backs, every part of the team had leadership where I don't know if this is a rudderless leadership team right now. So I guess part of the question is, how important was that leadership for you guys winning the Super Bowl in 2017, and how important is it for a team?
Well, I think leadership's great and all that, but I've been a leader on bad teams too. So, like, all these people that, you know, credit my leadership or Torrey's or any of the other guys, like Malcolm – you know, Malcolm has been on bad teams. I've been on bad teams. So, like, it's not an automatic that, you know, our leadership or our, like, veteran wisdom is going to propel that team anywhere. You got to have players, too. You know, like, we had everything on that team. We had the clutch gene. We had the leadership that you talked about. We had the players. We had speed. We were deep. People got hurt. People stepped up. We had the it factor, man. Like, nobody was going to beat us, but we grinded and we worked hard. And, like, that's the formula you got to have. But you can't just create that out of thin air. And so, you know, to get to unlock, like, the leadership ability, and there are great leaders on that team still. You know, like, Jason Kelsey just came back. He's a leader. You've got a number of guys who are veterans on that team. To unlock the potential of people listening to what they're talking about, you got to win games. And you have to... And you have to put people in position to win games, and you have to beef that roster up. So leadership's great, but you can't just will a team to win with good leadership. We did that in St. Louis for a long time. You know, James Laurinaitis and myself were pretty solid leaders, and we had a bunch of guys on the team, like Steven Jackson was a great leader. We didn't win because the team wasn't any good.
You know, there's always people on teams that don't like other people. Would you agree or disagree? I mean, you can't have 53 guys. Okay. So you played with Tom Brady. Did everybody on that team like Tom Brady?
Yes. Yes.
They did? Really?
I think everybody on that team liked Tom Brady. Unless, like, because at the bottom, and this is, again, at the end of the day, like, I think everybody would like Tom Brady no matter what because he's a real down-to-earth teammate. He works his butt off. He walks the walk. But the most important thing is that he's great. You know, like, when you're good, when you're good, you're cool, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I'm not saying Carson is not the leader that Tom Brady is. And, of course, somebody could blow that quote up and make it some big deal. But I'm saying, like, Tom Brady embodies leadership. You know, like, Nick Foles, I've always said, had this special leadership. I don't think he's as naturally gifted or the quarterback that has the ceiling that Carson has, but, you know, he has this really rare natural magnetism. Carson, you know, can overcome, like, being a little bit less social by being the guy in 2017 or the guy in 2019 for stretches. Guys don't have a problem when you're winning. And so, like, another thing me and Malcolm were talking about was, hey, listen, if they'd have done a poll with 53 dudes on myself and Malcolm in that locker room, there would have been a few guys that didn't like us. So if some writer polled a bunch of guys, eventually you're going to find something negative about me and Malcolm or Kelsey or, like, and believe it or not, like, his fans are like, oh, these guys are awesome. Like, it's 53 dudes in a locker room. Not everybody likes everybody.
You know, it's kind of an interesting thing that you can't like it. I mean, you're around the guys all the time for, what, 6 straight months. How can you like everybody all the time? There's always going to be something that happens, right?
And there's guys that you just plain maybe don't care for. But, like, the thing about it is, like, we're trying to win football games. So, like, I don't need to like the guy next to me. I just need to trust him. And I just need to know that, you know, that guy is gonna get the job done. Like, and that guy is going to bust his ass. Like, if I don't like a guy personally off the field, and he busts his ass on the field and is accountable and does all the things that he needs to do. Like, I got no issue with the guy. Like, I might roll my eyes at him when he's talking as he walks through the hallway, and I'm sure some guy's done that to me before, but can you trust the guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the bottom line. And, like, so, again, circling back to the whole thing. Wow, that's cool. Waylon just got home.
That's all right.
I think likability is a really poor – because, like, some of the best players in our league are not – like, their teammates don't like them.
Right.
You know, and the league is, like, if you were to air out somebody's laundry, like, for the most part, you're being a hater or you're breaking the code. Like, that's why, for the most part, when somebody does get talked about anonymously, it's kind of cheap because, like, come out and say it, you know, like, or just don't.
Jalen Hurts is now the quarterback of this team. You saw him. We all saw him for four games. I'm not sure yet that he's the guy. Your thoughts on Jalen Hurts? And he's already talking about leadership. I don't know that you can talk about it. You got to go out there and do it. So your thoughts on Jalen Hurts?
Well, I'll tell you what, like right off the bat, I see leadership ability with Jalen Hurts. I see that magnetism. I see a guy who commands a huddle and seems like he's like, man, just thinking about when I was a rookie, my head was spinning so bad, like trying to figure things out. And I'm a position player. And just like as resilient as that kid's been, you know, bouncing around from different place to place, never flinched. I have a lot of respect and admiration for Jalen Hurts. Am I sold on him as being the quarterback of the future for the Eagles? No. But like, you know, we've kind of waded into these waters now that if I say that, then I don't like Jalen Hurts, which is stupid as hell. And I think Jalen Hurts would tell you that he's got more to prove. Absolutely. Does he believe in himself? Obviously. And that's why I think guys believe in him. And, you know, I think they got some hard thinking to do at six, because here's the deal. If in a year you could run it back with a really thick quarterback class, you could consider it. If you look at this quarterback class in a year and you got the kid at UNC who I like, but I don't know. And I don't know college football that well, to be fair, but people that do say next year that class isn't real attractive. You know, you could pass up your opportunity to get a Trey Lance or hell, even a Zach Wilson or a Mac Jones, if you like him, like I assume Trevor's going to be gone. Or you like the kid Fields from Ohio State, good luck rolling the dice with another Ohio State quarterback. But you know, like those opportunities are going to be there. They won't be there next year unless you're like picking one maybe or two or three. And I think Jalen Hurts is good enough to play you into the middle of the first round, even with this bad team. And so I'm not downing Jalen Hurts. What I'm saying is for the player, I wish, because I admire him, that he had a better opportunity to develop in a less crappy circumstance.
Right.
And I also wish the Eagles had more time to figure it out with him. Maybe they should have gone to him earlier last year.
How much do you think the Eagles will miss Zach Ertz?
I think they'll miss him a lot. You know, you can replace the productivity. You're never going to get the productivity from those couple years. That's why he was a record-breaking tight end. Dallas Goedert is a really good player. I think he's got a hell of a future. And I'm sure he would tell you one day he wants to be Zach Ertz. You know, he wants to, you know, rise to that level. I think Zach Ertz has got a lot of good football left in him. And I think it's going to hurt to watch him make him plays elsewhere. But there's also a circumstance where it's like, well, maybe – a guy that's given you like his whole career and his prime, it's the right thing to do too, to let him go if he wants to go, because he's not going to have that same success in Philly. It's just going to be hard. Like I said, like this team, and I'm not being sensational, but they might have some growing to do this next year. And somebody like Zach deserves a chance to go try to win somewhere else. Cause I don't know how he didn't, Howard, didn't they say, that they were effectively hitting the reset button this year?
Well, they never used the word rebuild. So maybe that they could have said reset, but they'll always use the word retool. And there's a point when you get old, players get old, Father Time always wins, that you've got to start, especially when you don't have enough young players it doesn't appear yet that they have enough young players. So reset, they could have used that, but they'll never use the word rebuild. Teams just hate that word because they try to tell you that they're still going to be good enough. And I'm not sure this year, I would not think would be the year that they're going to compete. In that division, anybody can compete. Because the divisions, even with Dak back with Dallas, anybody can compete in that division. So
it's an interesting conversation because you're like, man, you could win this division any year, but what about much more than that? So like, do you sell out to try to win the division right now, like strap for cash and, you know, in kind of an in between situation at quarterback and trying to figure out like, do we love this kid for the future? It's a funny situation, right? And I don't know. Jeffrey said that they're going to sell out to win with Jalen Hurts. I don't know if you believe that on its face because, like, why would you say that at this point, this early?
Well, yeah, that is a good point. I mean, it's a real good point. It's going to be like every year. There's always some questions, but there's always some things that happen. You say, how the hell did that happen? You know, whether it be good or bad. And I'm sure you've been around long enough to see that. You know, when players get old, and, you know, athletes aren't old in the world of life, but they get old with what they're doing in an occupation. When do you know it's time? Like Jason Kelce had to make a decision. When do you know it's time that it's over?
Well, I think it's different for every guy. Like, what have you accomplished? Where have you been? Where'd you come from? You know, I think for Jason, and if I were Jason, I might still be playing for the Eagles. Like, if I had played my whole career for the Eagles, I'd have played as long as I possibly could. Like, and I think that's where Jason is, like, Mr. Eagle. Like, Jason is going to be one of the foremost members of a championship team that will be remembered forever. And, you know, his legacy is like a capital L legacy. And his legacy in Philly is, in my book, I put him up against a ton of different, like, I don't know, you name them. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's the dude in the mummer outfit. I mean, when you're him, and he's a great player, and when you're him, and he's a leader, and he's fiery, and guys love him, he's a big personality, like, you stick around as long as you can. It's a real blessing, and I think, you know, it just depends on the guy. For me, it was just enjoyment. When I stopped enjoying it, and I stopped enjoying Monday through Saturday, like, in the building, it just wasn't worth it anymore. And, like, honestly, it just depends. Like, guys might have kids, and it might change their whole perspective. Like, that was one for me. It's just injuries pile up for guys, and the thing they say about injuries is not one big thing. It's like they just compound each other because one thing leads to the next. And so people go out a bunch of different ways, man. And, you know, it's your job to try to beat Father Time. I was saying earlier, technicality, I won on a technicality because I got out before he could get me.
Yeah, right. You know, I heard your podcast, and you had an NBA guy on, and you were talking about Charles Barkley. I've been out with Charles a lot, and what you hear is the truth, man. When he is at anywhere, and there's people, all of a sudden, everybody gravitates to him, and he never says no. I've been out with him. It's really fascinating. We start with four people. There might be 16 at the end of the night, and he picks up the check for everybody. It's unbelievable how good he is. And, you know, he can party with the best of them. Just so you know, he can party with the best of them. I've been to the Borgata with him, and the tequila shots just keep on coming while he's at that table. They just keep on coming. He is one of the all-timers, just so you know that. You would go, I mean, it would be one of the highlights of your year if you ever went out and just saw how good Charles is out there with people. It is amazing.
No, there was one night after Virginia National Championship when me and my co-host Macon, Gunter, we were up there in Minneapolis, and there was nothing open anymore, and it was cold as hell outside, I think, if I remember correctly. It just wasn't a good night to, like, go explore the city. Everything was closed. And we come back to the hotel, and in the hotel lobby, there is Chuck. and Chuck was so cool because I met him through you at one of the practices. He remembered me.
Yeah.
We popped over. Stanford Steve was there. Lefko was there, who you mentioned. Jay Billis, Jay Williams. Like, it was a sight to see, kind of what you're describing, and like a flock of people just descending upon Charles. And the way Lefko described it was, you could be sitting there talking to Charles and Charles not know it, and behind Charles is a group of 60 people, and they've just descended upon his table. And so, yeah, I got the idea pretty quick that, one, he could hold court, and two, he could drink his fair share of tequila.
Yeah, he's just always friendly with people. You know, I want to touch on your podcast because you're in a new world now. At first, did you think you'd have fun? It looks like you have fun doing your podcast. Did you think you'd have as much fun doing it as you do?
Yeah, you know, like, some days are really fun. And some days I don't feel like doing it, man. It's probably a lot like playing, but the difference is I don't have to hit anybody. Or, you know, like, when you have a bad day on the football field, it's worse than a bad day at work. You know, it's just your manhood, you're embarrassed, everybody saw. And the maddening thing about it is when you're not good at football for a day, like, everybody thinks it's the worst thing in the world. Like, hey, I'm a professional football player. These guys get paid too. When you're a podcaster, you know, it just feels like the stakes are lower. And, you know, I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy kind of staying involved in the game. And we talk about a lot of stuff that isn't football, which keeps me pretty involved because I get the burnout. I don't know about you. Yeah. I could never be one of these NFL Network people that just do football all year. And so I love that freedom and flexibility.
Well, it's I still walk every day. I'm walking 12 to 14 miles rather than 15 to 18, but I walk every day. And, you know, it's a way to get outside. Even in the cold and the rain, I'm walking, but I do listen to your podcast and I do enjoy them. So I wanted to let you know that. But you've always been good at whatever you've done, and you're pretty good at that. So I appreciate you keeping me company while I'm walking.
Well, thanks, bro. I figure if I'm blasting through the Beats by Dre, the Howard Eskin specials, then I'm in a good spot.
Hey, genius! I really appreciate your time. Good luck, and we'll be talking soon. Stay in touch. Thanks, man.
Okay, brother. Good talking to you.
Take care. Right.
See you.
Chris Long, great guy. And by the way, he does so much to help people around the world get clean water. With the Water Boys, and check out the Water Boys. And he raises money each year. And really, you should be. You should try to be a part of that. Clean water. He's doing it for women now. He's doing so many good things besides having a great career and besides being just an all around good guy. And he's got his podcast. So I'll say most of the time he probably enjoys it. I don't know how long that's going to last, but he just enjoys rolling out some stuff. But it was great to hear from Chris Long, and it's great to hear differences of opinion from a player that was there. And as far as the monument or the statue or the tribute to Nick Foles, it was, you heard the way he explained it, and he did the same thing with Carson Wentz. Got more candles in his Carson Wentz monument and his tribute. But he had a difference of opinion as far as some people when it came to the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, and it came to the quarterback, Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz just played poorly at the end. But I don't think it was his personality that really, really hurt people. And I personally, I have questions about Jalen Hurts. Athletically, he's terrific. But a quarterback has to do more than that. And he can't be a runner. Can't be a runner first. And touching on Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is amazing. And Chris had heard about it. And I just wanted to confirm what he heard about Charles Barkley. All right, I appreciate everybody who joined us for this edition
of the Howard Eskin podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for joining us.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.